Welcome to the program, God and Country, a program that looks at current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. In all of the banter back and forth between the two presidential candidates, I was struck by Hillary's moral certitude, her moral confidence, the absolute conviction that she is right, that she's the good in America, and that the conservative Christian community is wrong. She actually says that Donald Trump and conservatives live in an alternative universe. So this is her moral confidence, what some would say a condescending attitude. After all, she recently said, you could put half of Trump supporters into what I call a basket of deplorables. Racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. You name it. Now, some of these folks, they are irredeemable, but thankful they are not America. And so what I would like to discuss today is not just Hillary Clinton's false confidence and moral confusion, but the false confidence and moral confusion of the lost, the unsaved, those who have never been born again. As we read twice in the book of Proverbs, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And what I want us to think about in this program is how powerful that deception really is. As far as Hillary is concerned, she is the moral superior. She is the champion of virtue. And she and those who applaud her constantly believe that they are the great Americans, that they're on God's side. Just like the Confederate slaveholders also thought that they were on God's side. Or as ISIS today thinks they're on God's side. Or those political leaders, the Sanhedrin, crucified Jesus, fully believing in their own hearts that they were the righteous ones, defending God, defending justice, saving the nation. But yet they were the pinnacle of evil. Now, I've talked with some Christians who believe that people like Hillary Clinton actually know that they're doing evil. I don't believe that at all. I really believe that she thinks she's righteous and she doesn't have a single doubt. But you might say, well, how can that be? Is the Bible, God's moral law, and the God-given conscience so ambiguous that unprincipled, immoral people can't know what's right? Well, we must remember the power of the deception of sin. That the unsaved mind is darkened in its understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. They have become callous. Ephesians 4:18. And they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1:18. And by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. 1 Timothy 4:2. And they love the lie. Revelation 22:12. And Proverbs 28:5. Evil men do not understand justice. As C.S. Lewis once wrote, error and sin both have this property. The deeper they are, the less their victim suspects their existence. And that's why a sociopath has no conscience. And the adulterer in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20 says, I have done no wrong. And the idolaters in Israel thought that they were holier than thou, holier than God. Isaiah 65:5. Remember how Jesus described the power of deception? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. The eye here is referring to the window of the soul, the way one sees the world, one's worldview based upon one's values. So if your eye is clear, you interpret the world correctly through the right worldview, your whole body will be full of light. But then Jesus went on to say, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Matthew 6:23. So Paul writes in Ephesians 5:8, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." You weren't just in darkness, you were darkness. Now remember, the truth of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can break through that darkness. But people like Hillary Clinton have built a wall of ideology around themselves to keep the truth from entering. I'll talk about this in a moment, but first, let me begin by briefly making a case that Hillary is morally flawed. Let's not assume what we should be proving. Now, there are many minor red flags in Hillary's record, but here are the big offenses. Number one, Benghazi. In her 2008 run for president, polls suggested that Hillary would be weak on national defense. So she put out that famous ad. "It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep, but there's a phone ringing in the White House. Something is happening in the world. Who do you want to answer that phone?" And then the ad goes on to imply that Hillary is the right person. 4 years later, in the investigation that went wrong in Benghazi, where our ambassador and his team was slaughtered by Islamic militants, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton received that 3 a.m. call on September 11th, 2012. And she thought nothing of it and did nothing to send in backup. She had a wait-and-see attitude. And the irony is this happening after that famous commercial. It looks like a divine rebuke. But she even furthered the crime in her cover-up. The narrative the administration was trying to convey back in 2012, before the election, was that terrorism was now under control. And so they made up the story that these riots were caused by a satirical anti-Muslim video on YouTube. A video that wasn't even acknowledged in the Middle East. Now, this cover-up of the administration has been thoroughly exposed. And the bottom line was that political image was driving Hillary Clinton's actions. She didn't want to tell the truth and look bad. And she has a record of telling lies for the sake of keeping political power. WikiLeaks' recent exposure of her private speeches to business leaders says it all. These were transcripts that she refused to release to the public. And in these speeches, she said, "You need both a public and private position on the issues." And she was trying here to explain how the public will not like certain positions. So the smart politician needs to create a separate public position that doesn't expose one's actual views. And this has been Hillary's life story. Even in a recent PBS Frontline documentary on Hillary's life, they summed up her political approach as secrecy. Beginning all the way back in 1994 when she kept her healthcare task force completely secret from the public. But in those recent speeches to business leaders, what she said she was keeping secret is the real crime. She said, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders." Hillary Clinton is a globalist, and she will lie and be two-faced in order to further her worldview. And this is right out of the Marxist secular humanist playbook. There is nothing wrong in hiding the truth, stretching the truth, or telling a lie, as long as you want to help people. It's okay to do wrong in order to bring about justice in the world. It's situation ethics. And that's not a Christian ethic, but it's very commonly taught on today's college campus. Truth is relative, and so lies are accepted. And not surprisingly, this is very Islamic. In Islam, it's okay to lie to infidels. Now, the second big case against Hillary is the email server in her home. And again, this is all about her secrecy and her double dealings behind the back of the public. Now, at first, I imagined that Hillary had her staff turn a personal computer into a server. People do this all the time to create their own internet access. But I've talked with computer people about this, and they have told me that what Hillary had in her home was a $60,000 piece of equipment. And she had to have a full-time system administrator to keep it up. Now, Hillary said she did this for convenience. And computer experts agree that there is nothing convenient about running your own server. Nobody does this out of convenience. One head of an internet security firm said this: "Such an endeavor is highly unusual. He has not heard of any companies whose executives have set up personal servers for work emails, let alone government officials." Now, Hillary is a lawyer, and she knows that emails are not protected under the Fourth Amendment. And according to the Electronic Communication Privacy Act, emails lose their status as protected communication after 180 days. But if you have a private server in your home, the government cannot get at your emails without a warrant. And by then, you can erase everything. And that's exactly what Hillary did when she was subpoenaed to turn over her emails. She wiped it clean. And all of her staff pleaded the Fifth. Now, of course, she said in the debate, "If I could do it over again, I would not have a server in my home." Well, obviously. Because now she knows that smart politicians never put anything down in writing and never send anything by email, unless you want it broadcasted to the public. Now, many people in the public were disappointed when the Justice Department would not prosecute her for having a server in her home. They simply deemed it poor judgment. But the media is missing the real crime here. It was not just having a server in the home, but what was she doing with the server in the home? What was she trying to cover up? Looking at the Clinton Foundation, she was probably making deals as Secretary of State with foreign interests in exchange for money donated to the Clinton Foundation. That's the real crime here, which dwarfs the issue of the server. This is corruption and a cover-up like we have not seen since Watergate. But this is Hillary. She did the same thing in the Whitewater cover-up and in Travelgate, eliminating documents that would expose her backroom dealings. Jeremiah 5:31, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority." And that would be bad enough. But then Jeremiah goes on to say, "And my people love it so." And the frightening thing is that 50% of the public will still be voting for Hillary Clinton. Because they also believe that being corrupt to advance socialism or abortion or LGBT is not a serious crime. The end justifies the means. So they look the other way in regard to Hillary's corruption because they believe in her positions. And this brings me to two final offenses of Hillary: her support for the gross immorality of homosexuality, homosexual marriages, gender bending, the LGBT agenda. This is a complete repudiation of biblical morality. And also her crusade for abortion on demand, even wanting to overturn the Hyde Amendment that prohibits government support of abortion. Hillary believes it's acceptable, it's right, it's just to kill babies. Yet Hillary has recently put out a commercial about how she cares for the children. We have to ask, how can it be that someone can be so morally two-faced? Think for a moment about American slavery in the 19th century. Which is more evil, slavery or abortion? Slavery is an economic crime. It's like putting innocent adults in jail. But abortion is killing innocent babies. They're helpless. Abortion makes slavery in America look like an overdue library book. And yet the liberals in America will decry slavery and say how non-racist they are, yet they support the killing of 50 million children. Now, could it possibly be that abortion is such a morally confusing issue that the truth can't be discovered? No, this is simply showing the depravity of the human mind. Romans chapter 3, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their path. They will kill inconvenient life, at the same time, placate those from whom they can get votes. Now let's look deeper into Hillary's moral compass. Because her ability to call evil good and good evil takes something more than just natural depravity. In order to fully sear the conscience, it takes an education in evil ideology. Let me explain. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his writings about the atrocities committed by the communists, points out that the communists in the old Soviet Union couldn't have done the evil that they did if it wasn't for their ideology. Quote, "To do evil, a human must first of all believe that what he is doing is good, or else that it is a well-considered act in conformity with natural law. Fortunately, it is in the nature of the human to seek justification for his actions. Ideology, that is what gives evil doing its long-sought justification and gives the evildoer the necessary steadfastness and determination. That is the social theory which helps to make his acts seem good instead of bad in his own eyes and in the eyes of others, so that he won't hear the reproaches and curses, but will receive praise and honors. That is how the agents of the Inquisitions fortify their wills. By invoking Christianity, the conquerors of foreign lands by extolling the grandeur of their motherland, the colonizers by civilization, the Nazis by race, the Jacobins in the French Reign of Terror, by equality and brotherhood and the happiness of future generations. Thanks to ideology, the 20th century was fated to experience evil doing on a scale calculated in the millions. This cannot be denied, nor passed over, nor suppressed." Alexander Solzhenitsyn. So where did Hillary get her ideology? Not an ideology that made her evil, but an ideology that gave her typical unsafe soul assurance and permission to do what she felt was right in her heart, even though it contradicted the law of God. Where did Hillary get what she calls the politics of meaning? Well, it all started back in her Methodist church. Bad theology is at the root. In her biography, she describes how a youth pastor by the name of Don Jones came to her church when she was a teenager. He was a graduate of the liberal Drew University School of Theology. Rather than preaching the gospel, he preached Marxist liberation theology. Hillary says this man's influence on her was profound. And Jones wanted to expose the young people to the economic class struggle in the real world, as Karl Marx sees the problem in the world. He brought in an atheist to debate the existence of God. He taught the theology and existentialism of Paul Tillich, the theology of the German school of rationalism, debunking the Bible. He took the young people to hear Martin Luther King, which would have been fine, except for also teaching to the young people that equality is the chief ethic. Well, after 2 years, the elders at this Methodist church asked Jones to leave. The left says it's because of racist attitude in the older members of the church, but that's the left's excuse. It wasn't about racism. This man was a false teacher. You know, it's often said that politics is downstream from culture. In other words, political policy is the outcome of cultural values, not the other way around. But it can also be said that politics and culture are downstream from the pulpit. As the pulpit goes, so goes America. And that's not to blame the church for the moral decline of America, because the wolves are not the church. They're the ones that Paul talked about in Acts chapter 20, Savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. These false teachers are not the church. They're the people of the world. So the moral demise in America is the fault of the unsaved. And the Methodist denomination has been taken over by the unsaved. And it began back in the early 60s. So today, Methodism is one of the most liberal denominations in America. They support abortion, financially supporting the Religious Coalition for Abortion Rights. They support homosexual marriage, homosexual clergy. They're anti-Israel. And what you basically have is ancient Baal worship in Israel revived. The using of the name of Jehovah, but attributing to Jehovah the character of Baal. So false teachers discipling unprincipled politicians is behind America's path to Sodom. These false prophets, do not furnish this people any benefit. Jeremiah 23:32. Now, in addition to her church, Hillary got an earful of false teaching at Wellesley College, a women's college in Massachusetts. And the error she picked up, and she now espouses, is what I've been pounding the pulpit about ever since I started this program. The great error that sounds wonderful but is deceiving everyone is that equality is the highest value. That righteousness is human freedom and equality. But that means equality in morals, where homosexuality should be equal to biblical marriage. And that means equality in economics and in outcomes, so that we need an all-powerful government to redistribute the wealth. And that means equality in status, where women should not have to be economically unequal to others, so they should be able to kill their unwanted babies who will hold them down economically. So equality as a chief ethic has led to the overturning of God's law. And equality, or freedom, is right in line with the rebellion of sinful man. Psalm chapter 2. Let us tear God's fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. It's the rebellion of Cain, who thought his offering should be just as acceptable as Abel's offering. It's the hatred and rebellion of Joseph's brothers, who thought that they should be treated just as well as Joseph, even though they weren't as righteous as Joseph. The unsaved hate God's system of accountability and reward. So the ethic of equality has become the justification for overthrowing the standards of God. But again, it's this ideology of freedom and equality that's actually embedded in our founding American documents that's causing Hillary to believe that she's right when she's actually evil. She is being sincere. She's being consistent with the foundation of her ethics. But her ethics are upon the wrong foundation. Her ethics are upon the devil's foundation. Do your own thing. Be what you want to be. And I'm sure Hillary actually believes that God is on her side. Because I'm sure she cannot imagine that God would require anything of anyone that thwarts their moral freedom or their happiness. It's a sincere belief on her part. But there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now finally, is Hillary Clinton redeemable? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're told to pray for kings and all who are in authority, because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But we also know that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. The Herods, the Pilates, the rich, the famous, the powerful people in this world rarely are humble enough to be converted. Sure, Hillary is redeemable, but not unless the huge wall of lies that she has built up in her mind comes tumbling down. That, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, that she comes to her senses and escapes the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Well, that's Hillary. But what about you? The only sinful heart that we truly know is our own. And we know what we need to do. Repent and be saved from this perverse generation. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again, download it, or listen to other past programs. Email me, and I'll be happy to send you a free CD of any program. That's GodAndCountryRadio.org. Thank you for taking the time to be part of this Bible teaching ministry. Let's close in prayer. And now, Father, we do pray for the salvation of Hillary Clinton, so that she will not be a vessel of wrath fit for destruction, but a vessel of mercy. But may the will of the Lord be done. Save those you deem worthy to call into your everlasting kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our only Savior, we pray. Amen.